So good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you for joining us online. Most of you know me, I know that, but if in case there's somebody here who's new and you're wondering who's this guy standing up here, I'm Brian Wiley, and I am the chair of our governance board. Our pastor, Peter Kim, is away this week. He has been away as part of our denomination's Board of Ordered Ministry, caring for all of the pastors across our entire denomination. It's a very important thing that he does about twice a year, and so that's where he has been for the last several days. He's traveling home today, and I am very, very privileged to get to deliver the message this morning so that he can come home after doing that important work. So before I jump in, I also just wanted to take a moment, and for those of you who may not have heard, I wanted to make sure everyone's aware of the passing of Daryl Stevens a few days ago this week. Many of us know Gerald, have known him for a really long time. I knew him well, lovely, lovely man. He's with Jesus now, and we all know that, and that's something to be thankful for. And there'll be some more information coming out in a special loop in the next couple of days as plans get worked out. So, but I would ask you to please keep the Stevens family in your prayers over this time as they deal with the loss of Gerald. So this morning, I want to talk about what it means to love God. Have you ever wondered what that really means? We talk about it a lot. And Jesus said it was the first and greatest commandment, right? Most of us have heard this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And last Sunday, Pastor Peter gave a great message about the importance of loving God so that we can love others. And I agree with him, which is probably good, because he was basically saying what Jesus said. So that means I agree with Jesus, so good. So we probably all agree with that, but how do we do it? I mean, what does it look like? How do we go from acknowledgement to action? That's what I want to talk about this morning. So to help with that, I want to look at the parable of the wise and foolish builders as we think about how to actually love God. But before we do that, let's just take a moment. I want to pray and bless our time over the next few minutes here. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, illumine us to the words of the Lord. Show us the wealth of glory that lies beneath the old familiar stories. Teach us the depths of meaning hidden in the songs of Zion. Raise us to the heights of aspiration that are reached by the wings of the prophet. Lift us to the summit of faith that was trod by the feet of the apostles. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your law. Amen. This morning's text is from Matthew chapter 7, right at the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Listen to the words of Jesus. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, and not as their teachers of the law. This is the word of the Lord. You know, I love the practicality of these images. Maybe it's because I'm an engineer, and I always try to think about how things actually work. Maybe it's because we've done so much work renovating our old houses. But when Jesus takes spiritual concepts and puts them into physical terms like building and storms, it's easier for me to understand them. So let's talk about building the house on the rock. Of course, Jesus is talking here about following him, building a life on his truth and his love. And the more we do that, the more we start to live like he would, and less like we used to. This doesn't have to be anything huge. Back in 2005, I had the first experience where I can remember noticing something different in me that comes from building on the rock. I got raised in the church, grew up going to church every Sunday, but I never really took it seriously until an experience at a men's conference in 2001. That conference galvanized me, and I started slowly to try to really follow Jesus. My dad and I started daily devotionals by email. I started trying to learn to pray. I was not good at it, but I was trying. So in 2005, in our last old house that we had, we completely renovated our kitchen. And that means, it looked like something off of one of those home shows. We completely tore out everything, including the walls, the windows, the drywall, the ceiling. I was staring through the ceiling at the stars one night thinking, what have I done? And then we put it all back together. It came out okay. It didn't rain. God was good. It was awesome. But we were in the middle of demolition, I was trying to take something down with the hammer. Our friends Rick and Debbie Clark were there. Rick, Debbie, I know you're watching online. I hit my thumb really, really hard. Like Black and Blue, I wonder if I broke my thumb hard. Who's done that? Some of us have done that before, right? I jumped up and down. I shook my hand. I yelled. It really hurt. A couple minutes later, Rick looked at me and he said, I know how much that hurt. I can't believe you didn't use any profanity. Funny thing was, it just hadn't occurred to me. Now, I've never sworn like a longshoreman, but I have used my share of profanity back in the day. And in that experience, I remember thinking, maybe the Spirit really is changing me. And that was small, right? It wasn't an earth-shattering event, but it was a milepost, it was a marker, it was something that I still remember to this day, 18 years later. Now, I'm still getting better at loving God and following Him. I'd love to be able to tell you that I never go back to my other house, the one built on the sand over there. That would not be true. I think Jesus talks about it like a house on the rock and a house on the sand. I think we actually all have both houses. And we kind of decide each day which one we're going to go pay attention to and work on. And part of this journey is learning how to follow God and make our habits so that we spend more and more time working on the house on the rock and less time in that shack over there on the sand. But making those habits takes time, right? I'm still working on it. I'll be working on it until I see Jesus. That would be great if I could download an app, or I could tell you all, hey, go download an app, and boom, all of a sudden, we always follow Jesus. We always make that choice. We always go to the house on the rock. That would be awesome, right? Be great. And the place would be packed, right? Because we'd say, hey, come to our church. We'll give you the app. Life's going to be perfect. Well, it doesn't work that way. I wish it did. One thing about God is He's a God of process. He lets the seasons run their course, right? He doesn't make it summer one day and winter the next day, even though it feels like that in Connecticut sometimes, but He really doesn't do that. He makes crops grow over time. And this thing that we call walking with God takes time. So if you're new and it seems like what you're doing isn't working yet, don't despair. God loves the effort and devotion of everyone who makes the choice to become more like Him. Keep going. Keep going. I once heard Pastor Tony Evans speak about this parable at an Iron Sharpens Iron conference, and maybe there's a few people here who were there. He said this. He said, no matter who you are, you're in one of three places. You're either in the middle of a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're about to be in a storm. I think he's right. Certainly aligns with my life, probably aligns with yours. Storms come in all sizes, from a minor annoyance, you know, like a late night work email or phone call, to life-changing ones, like the loss of a job or the loss of a loved one. Jesus said that God brings the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous, and I think the same is true of the storms of life. We can't control what comes our way. All we can control is how we prepare to weather them when they come. So I told you a story from 18 years ago. I'm going to fast forward to a little story from the last month or so of my life. The last few weeks have been stormy ones for me. Now, this is not because of a tragedy. I've got a great job. It's all good. But there has been a lot piling up all at the same time in my life over the last few weeks. I got asked to take on a major project at work that was literally a seven-day-a-week kind of thing. The last couple Sunday mornings, I'll apologize to those of you who have seen me in the lobby with a headset on my head, because I don't like to do that at church, but it was one of those kinds of jobs. Sometimes that just happens. I was already committed to a bunch of reading for an online class I'd signed up for, and I had agreed to preach this morning. All of those are things that I like to do, but they all just kind of converged at the same time. And to top it all off, I had no idea what I was going to preach about today. Now, you have to understand the kind of person I am, and Liesl will agree with this. I am a planner. I plan everything. And when I plan to preach, I like to have my passage picked out as far in advance as possible, and then I just kind of, you know, chew on it like a dog on a bone. And I love that process. I love just thinking about the passage and working with God on it. And by the time I get, you know, to the week of my message, I've already got it written, right? And I'm just kind of in the practice mode, and I'm good to go. Well, not this time. This time, rather than hearing the passage that God was giving to me right away, I felt like God was saying, wait. So I waited. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Peter only asked me to preach a month ago. Still no idea what I was going to preach about 8-9 days ago. Last Sunday morning, shortly before church, God put this passage of the wise and foolish builders on my heart. And then I came to church, and I listened to Pastor Peter's message. And I laughed at God's sense of humor. Because Peter's message last week was about why we need to love God. And my message was meant to be about how we're supposed to love God. God knew the plan all along. He still simply needed me to wait for it. If I had taken my way, my wisdom, I would have started working on this sermon 4 weeks ago. I would have picked the wrong passage, I would have written the wrong message, and then I would have had to decide, do I take the whole thing and tear it up and start over again? Or do I just drive on with what I probably was not meant to preach this morning? I would have wasted a ton of time. I would have been stressed. I would have been annoyed, and instead, I get the joy of realizing this was all part of God's plan. I'd love to say Peter and I had pre-coordinated our two messages, and maybe we should have, but we didn't. But God was in charge, and he had it under control, and he works all things together, right, Natasha? Just like you said this morning. So this was a kind of storm. The last 3 weeks, you know, and Liesl will tell you, I have been burning the midnight oil between work and school and church. And it could have resulted in a lot of stress, a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of striving. But this time at least, what I felt inside was calm. I felt God saying, I've got this. And lo and behold, he was right. I mean, look, it's Sunday, we're all here, I'm here, I've got a sermon. God's good. I'm not telling these stories to brag. I'm telling them to give hope. You know, we're all at different places in our walk with the Lord. Maybe this is old hat to you and you're going, oh yeah, this is my life all the time with God. Or maybe you've thought that you could never really change how you live your life or hear God's voice. And that's where I was 20 years ago. But over the last two decades, I've had just enough faith, and sometimes I'd call it more hope than faith, that these promises in the Bible are true and to give it a try, to keep going. So if that's you, my prayer is that these stories give you hope. You know, as I was driving in this morning, and I was thinking about what does it really look like to build your life on the rock, I couldn't help but think about Gerald Stevens. For those of us who know Gerald, boy, if there was ever a guy who had storms in his life, it was Gerald. Health challenges, all kinds of challenges. I mean, as long as I've known Gerald, he's had things in his life that most of us would wish we didn't have to go through. And yet, I don't think I've ever known anybody who was more joyful in the Lord than Gerald. So, if my stories don't resonate with you, think about Gerald. Think about his love. Talk about a guy who built his life, built his house on the rock. That just came to me this morning, and I just felt like I needed to share it. Because I'm going to miss him incredibly. We all will. But we'll see him again. So in the words of my good friend Evan Burgess, I'm going to bring this thing in for a landing. At the opening, I said how I wanted to go beyond acknowledgement to action. So how do we build on the rock? Well, I'm glad you asked. You know, building a real house has a whole bunch of trades associated with it, and they all require different skills. There's carpentry, there's plumbing, there's electrical, roofing, drywall, painting, and each of those is a skill that takes time to learn. And the people who are really good at it, you know, you can know how to do all of them to some extent, but each one of those takes time. And there are time-tested practices that believers have used throughout the history of the church to build their house on the rock. Some of these are going to sound familiar, but here's a few, right? There's prayer, there's solitude, there's worship, there's service to others, there's Bible study, there's Sabbath. There's a lot of others as well. But what they all have in common is that they focus us on God and on his kingdom, and they take us back to the rock. Now, a lot of these probably sound familiar. And in fact, if you're like me, who grew up in the church, you've probably been told at some point, you need to do these things. That's not the spirit of this. I got told, you know, I needed to go read my Bible or I needed to go pray for half an hour, but nobody ever told me why. Like, why would that be a good thing to do? So it sort of came across as, this is just one more thing you have to do. That's not what this is about. This is about growing closer to God, about letting him change us, about leaving that house on the sand and going to the house on the rock. And it also takes time, like I said. You know, it's way different to talk about Bible study in my small group than it is to actually do it, or to talk about prayer on a Sunday morning than to learn to actually do it. It would be like watching a YouTube video on carpentry and then trying to build a she shed. How would that go? Not very well. To really learn something, to really learn anything, we need practice. And we need each other. So there's a lot of resources out there. If you go to our Right Now Media, there's tons of resources out there. There's great lessons on prayer. There's great lessons on Bible reading and others. But I want to let you know about something that's going to be coming pretty soon at Trinity. In a few weeks, we're going to start offering focus classes on the various spiritual practices. And we're going to take enough time in each of those to really go deep on them and give the opportunity to learn how to do them. Not just say, hey, you need to do this. How do you do it? What does it look like? Come together in a class format and support one another and really learn how to do these things. Now, I know some of these, right? Each of these is going to resonate a little bit differently. We're all different. And that's fine. You may say, I don't need the class on prayer. I know how to do that. But the next one that comes out may be on Sabbath keeping, or it may be on service. I encourage you to keep your eyes open for these as we go through these one at a time. Because they will just, it's like anything else. If we practice it, we get better. And if we talk about it more, it becomes something that becomes part of our life. So as we close, I just want to take a moment to let God speak to each of us about what we've covered this morning. So take a moment, close your eyes, and just ask God, is there anything that He'd like you to start doing to walk closer with Him in the next week, days, month? Maybe learn to pray or dedicate some quiet time with Him or something else. Just sit with that for a moment. So I want to encourage you, when the service ends, or maybe on your way home today, talk with somebody else about what you think you might have heard God say to you this morning. Let this morning be the start of a renewed commitment to learn how to build on the rock, to love God, so that we can feel the joy of fellowship with Him and turn that joy into love for others. Amen.